Jesus. Here is a parable our Lord did not tell, but he certainly could have. A certain man came from work. Policeman, that's important. A certain policeman came from home from work and found a thief robbing his house. The policeman's wife and children were tied up, but the thief was caught by surprise and unarmed. The policeman restrained the thief and freed his wife and children. Then he sat down and he made out his will. He gave all his goods, his house, his car, his pension, all his savings to the thief. Then he looked at his wife and his children and he told them to love the thief as they had loved him. He gave them to the thief as his inheritance. Then he freed the thief and handed him the gun. When the thief put the gun to the policeman's head, the policeman said, "This is good. Now you can have what you want. I give you what you sought to steal and more. You get what you want, and that pleases me." The thief killed the policeman and moved into his house, and they lived happily ever after. That's the gospel. And there are two and only two responses to the gospel: offense or faith. This isn't how policemen and forces of the law behave in our world, but it is how our Lord behaves. It is no less outrageous than a shepherd dying for the sheep or a rancher dying for his cattle. The point of all the parables is contrast, not similarity. Our Lord is not like us. We expect shepherds to fleece and slaughter their sheep. We expect Samaritans to walk on by. And we expect merchants to buy fields and goods for the sake of profit. But our Lord Jesus Christ is not like us. He is unlike any shepherd, any Samaritan, any merchant, father, king, or policeman that we know. For he is righteous and he is merciful. Jesus' parable is difficult. The parable of the unrighteous steward is considered by many the most obscure of every single parable that Jesus gave. Though really, it's not that difficult if you actually consider it in context. It's told right before the parables of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. It's all happening within that context. So the point in those parables is all the same. All those parables, like the unjust parable of the unjust steward, point to God's insatiable desire to find and embrace and love sinners. But the chief difficulty, compared with those three, is that Christ seems in this parable to commend dishonesty. The steward wastes the rich man's possessions and is about to be fired, and before the sentence is carried out, he calls the rich man's debtors in and makes them part of a conspiracy to further cheat the rich man and make friends for himself of all the debtors. And when the rich man discovers what this man has done, what this steward has done, he doesn't rebuke him. He commends him for his shrewdness. On the surface, the point of comparison is simply this. Here's the base level point of this parable. You, as a Christian, ought to be at least concerned with your eternal fate as the pagans are with their worldly fate and money. Christ himself says, as a summary of this entire parable, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation, their stuff, their earthly kingdom, than are the sons of light." So this parable is a warning to you, and it's calling you to vigilance. Judgment day is coming. So seek God while he may be found. Make abundant use of the holy sacrament and the word of God. All of us will have to give an account of how we lived, of what we did with our time, with our talents, with our treasures, whatever. All of us need to be called to repentance regarding our stewardship your stewardship of God's created world, of all your time, of your money, and the gifts you've been given. This is true. There is, however, more to the parable than that. There is this sticky point that the steward who was about to be fired for wasting the rich man's possessions is commended for giving away the rich man's possessions and forgiving the debt of his debtors. So the parable is more than just a dire warning for us. It is also an illustration of the kingdom and the gospel. We would be prone to thinking that the rich man was firing the steward because the steward was hurting his profits. That's the sensible human thing to do. We think the main goal of a business owner is to maintain and increase his possessions. That is how business in America and in all the world works. But this rich man is our Heavenly Father, and he is not like us. His mercy endures forever, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He returns gushing kindness for evil done to him. And his one goal and one desire is to give away the kingdom freely, abundantly, casting seed all over the place. He wants to forgive debts, and he wants to make friends with those who cannot pay him back and with those who try to cheat him. And so, judged in the ways of men, there is a kind of injustice, almost a dishonesty in grace. It's radically free, wholly apart from works. If the rich man is the father, the dishonest steward then becomes who? A kind of Christ figure. Jesus is in himself innocent and honorable, but he is humiliated and he is blamed for the debts of the people by his father. He is shamed in his weakness, incapable of digging, unwilling to beg. He rights the situation by making friends for himself and for the Father through forgiveness, by taking away debts, by taking away the punishment of debtors and cheats, not just firing, but executing, so that the Holy Spirit might be welcomed into the souls of people. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, but Jesus does have an ace in his pocket. He has paid the debt of all, and whoever believes it receives it for free. And so I do realize that this understanding of the parable does have some holes in it. If you try to match it up one-to-one, there are some problems, glaringly. The fact that the steward in the parable doesn't forgive the entire debt of the debtors, but only part of it, it is a parable. You've got to remember, it's a figure of speech. It isn't meant to tell the whole story of God's kingdom, of the grace of Christ, but it simply, in a story form, gives us a glimpse into what the character of the kingdom of God is like. This parable, pointedly, follows immediately, like I said before, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. It is meant to work with all of those parables and with the rest of Scripture. And so we use, this is just a little interpretive key for you as you study your Bible, use clearer passages of Scripture to interpret other more obscure passages of Scripture. So the Lord told his disciples this about the parables. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And so here is one of the chief secrets. A judgment day is actually coming. We shall all have to give an account. And we should consider and prepare for that day with at least as much zeal as a nation prepares for war, as an athlete for a major competition, as the sons of this world seek to protect and enjoy their fleeting life and pleasures. That's how you should be seeking the kingdom of God. Their zeal for temporary things should not ever surpass ours for the eternal. That means that we need to repent, and we need to change our ways right now. We should be giving a real tithe. We should be shrewd in how we manage our resources, how we treat one another, how we treat possessions and money and our bodies. We should prepare to give an account and act in ways that we will not be ashamed of when we must. So also, though, we know that the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of earth. And he who owns all things is not like the rich men of the earth who are going to come claim their debts that you owe them. He desires to give it all away. He'd rather blame and punish Jesus Christ, his son, than blame and punish you. And I don't want to sound trite, but he truly does want to be your friend. And he wants to be welcomed graciously into your home, at your tables, when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep, when you're taking a walk with your family. Welcome Jesus Christ into your house. He loves you, and he is more shrewd, and he is more zealous in pursuing your salvation than the most maniacal, obsessive, and unethical businessman or dictator who has ever lived in the history of the entire world. Amen, and so be it.
Unbelievers. In mercy, remember the enemies of your church.